Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1939. The makers of Maxwell House Coffee are happy to present their Thanksgiving program from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios in Hollywood. We have with us tonight America's most popular family, the Hardys. Lewis Stone, Mickey Rooney, Cecilia Parker, Ann Rutherford, and Faye Holden. You'll also hear Tony Martin, Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Frank Morgan, Meredith Wilson, and your host for this evening, Robert Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight you will hear America's number one family, the Hardys, in an original radio playlet especially written for today. Why don't you call up some of your friends and ask them to listen? I'm sure they'll thank you for having brought them this pleasure. Thanksgiving Day somehow always brings us thoughts of hay rides and old-fashioned barn dances. So as long as the jitterbugs have swung everything from the minuet to nursery rhymes, Meredith Wilson goes them one better by bringing swing to the square dance. Here is his own original contribution to the holiday mood, written in collaboration with George Sidney, Swing the Square.
Now, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has bought a brand new car. Listen.
Hot ziggity. Look at her shine. That's really a car. Yes, sir. Got to be more careful with this one.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Snooks. Well, isn't she a beauty?
Who?
Our new car. I traded the other one in.
Why?
Well, we had over 80,000 miles on it. I got tired of it, and so did Mother.
Why?
Because she was old, and her pistons were shot.
Mommy?
No, the car.
Oh.
This one's the latest thing. It runs so smoothly you can't feel it. It's so quiet you can't hear it. It's got such perfect ignition you can't smell it. And as for speed, you can't see it.
How do you know it's there?
Oh, don't be silly. Hop in and we'll take a ride.
All right. Oh, look it.
Now, Snooks, keep your hands off that thing.
What is it, Daddy?
That's the gas gauge.
Light it.
Oh, you don't light it.
Why?
Because it's the kind of gas that's not a gas.
Huh?
I mean, it's called gas, but it's really a liquid gas, whereas stove gas is a gas. Any gas that's invisible is really gas, but this gas is not gas because you can see it's gas.
Do you feel all right, Daddy?
I feel fine. Now, why is it you can't follow me?
Where are we going?
Nowhere. Now, what are you yelling about?
You said you were going to take me for a ride.
Well, sit back in your seat.
All right. Oh, look at all the pretty things.
Yes, sir. That's the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
8 million wonderful gadgets. All work, too. Uh-huh. I guess your old dad knows how to pick out a car, eh, Snooks?
Make it go, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Now, where's that starter? Oh, I guess this must be it. Nope, that's the windshield wiper. Oh, here it is.
We ain't moving, Daddy.
Well, just a second. There. Listen to it hum. Boy, what a car. Okay, hang on now.
What's this thing for, Daddy?
That's the switch for the lights.
What lights?
Oh, this car has retractable lights. That switch works the head and tail.
Huh?
Sure. When you pull that switch, the headlights go back and forth. Snooks, what are you doing?
I want to make it wag its tail.
Well, stop fooling with... There, you see? I almost ran into another car.
Why?
Because you're distracting me. Now sit still and don't talk.
All right. Daddy.
What is it?
How do you put this handle back?
What handle? Oh, Snooks, you've broken off the ignition lock.
I didn't do nothing.
I've got the car 10 minutes, and now I have to spend $5 for a new ignition lock, thanks to you.
You're welcome, Daddy.
Now, you just keep your hands still. Don't lean across me like that. I almost hit that man crossing the street.
I want to blow the horn.
All right, go ahead. Press this steel ring.
All right. And don't blow.
What? Something's wrong. That's fine. First the ignition lock falls off, now the horn won't work. That's marvelous. This is certainly a wonderful car.
You like it, Daddy?
No. I've got to get to a service station.
Daddy.
Now what is it?
My clock ain't going.
That's not a clock. That's the removable ashtray, I think. Pull out that knob on the front of it. Go ahead, pull it.
All right.
I'm afraid to look.
Don't worry, Daddy. It ain't the clock.
Oh, thank heaven.
It's the radio.
Oh! Well, I'm going right back to that crooked dealer, selling me a breakaway car. Well, I let him have it.
Why are you going so fast, Daddy?
I want to catch that guy before he gets away.
How much did the car cost, Daddy?
Oh, $2.
Oh, Daddy told a fib.
Oh, that wasn't a fib. I was just making a joke. You're supposed to laugh.
Don't go so fast, Daddy.
Oh, I'm surprised this rattletrap can make 60.
How do you know?
Why, by the speedometer. See it? Now it points to 65.
Go faster, Daddy.
Oh, what for?
Race that man on a motorcycle.
What man?
He's right behind us. He's been following us all the way.
A cop! That's all I need now. Now, listen, Snooks. He'll hand me a ticket unless I have a good excuse. I'm going to tell him, I am taking you to the hospital. Now, you act sick. Understand?
Why?
Never mind why. Now, don't forget, Snooks.
All right, buddy. Where's the fire?
Now, listen, officer. I was trying to make a little time, but I wasn't going over 30 miles an hour.
What are you laughing at, little girl?
Because my daddy made a joke.
Now, what's the joke?
He was going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah?
Now, pay no attention to the child, officer. She doesn't know.
She must know what she's talking about. She can see the speedometer.
The speedometer's broken.
Now, what are you laughing at?
Daddy made another joke.
And I was happy when she was born.
I've been watching you, mister. Besides speeding, you almost run into another car and knocked down a pedestrian. You didn't even blow your horn.
Yes, I did, officer. I blew my horn 3 times.
What's the matter?
Daddy pinched me.
What for?
Because the horn is broken.
Now, listen, officer. The child is sick. She doesn't know what she's saying. I'm taking her to the hospital now. It's an emergency. Measles. Aren't you sick, my poor little baby?
Now, I ain't.
All right, that's enough, brother. Here's a ticket for you. Sign your name in my book.
Oh, okay. There.
You know, people like you is a menace to the community. You better watch your step from now on. Hey, stop your kid from climbing all over me.
Get back in the car, Snooks. Come on. Well, you fixed me fine. Wait till we get home. Now I'll have to go to court with this ticket.
Tear it up, Daddy.
Oh, how can I? He's got my name in his book.
That don't matter.
What do you mean it don't matter?
Because I took his book.
What? You took his... What a Thanksgiving!
Maxwell House presents Tony Martin, popular star from 20th Century Fox, singing Summer's Souvenirs.
A beautiful summer evening, a beautiful moon, a lake, a canoe, and we vowed that we'd love each other. We promised our hearts that we'd never part. But you didn't keep your promise. You didn't keep your promise. Harvest moon above is shining bright. Memories of June haunt me tonight. While I'm looking through my precious summer souvenirs.
Didn't keep your promise.
Trinkets that we won in boardwalk games. Tintypes that were done in painted frames. They all speak of you, my precious summer souvenirs. I still have banners from the boat we boarded. When we sailed across the bay, songs your favorite band recorded, like the one we kept playing over and over. I've got you under my skin, and remember our favorite theme, our favorite dream song. Are on the ground, there'll soon be frost. Someone else has found the love I've lost. Still I'm clinging to a beautiful summer evening, a beautiful moon, a lake, a canoe, and you, my precious summer souvenir.
That was grand, Tony. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with the presentation.
Wait a minute, Bob. What's that siren?
Hey, there's an ambulance stopped at the stage door.
Well, Frank Morgan's getting out. Here he is now. Hello, Frank. You all right?
Well, I'm fine.
Well, what's the ambulance for?
What, didn't you hear, Bob?
Well, I heard a siren. What happened?
My boy, you see standing before you a man spared by divine providence from the worst disaster since the Boxer Revolution.
We'll discuss prize fighting some other time. What was the disaster?
Well, I was driving back from Palm Springs this morning in my custom-built cabriolet, which, as you know, was originally for the King of Latvia.
I didn't know that, Frank. How did you get the car?
Well, His Majesty got behind his payments. The finance company...
Now stop it, Frank.
Said that...
What was the accident?
Accident. Oh, yes. Well, I had dismissed my chauffeur for the day, and I was driving toward Los Angeles at a moderate rate of speed, accompanied by a charming young lady whose acquaintance I had made at the famous spa.
Palm Springs.
Yes. Well, needless to say, I stopped at a very exclusive place. They held a royal suite for me. Magnificent decor, canopied bed, solid gold telephone, silk drapes, bath down the hall.
A class spot.
Strictly. Well, last night as I was dining with some friends in the sumptuous refectory of my hotel, I was struck by the poise and grace of this charming young lady.
Was she at your table?
No, she took care of two tables by the wall. Well, but on her way to the kitchen, she gave me the wink.
What's that?
She gave me the wink.
Well, what followed?
I did. Well, to make a long story short, our acquaintance blossomed into friendship, and after she was fired, she consented to ride with me to Los Angeles.
I can see now how the accident occurred.
That's not a kind remark, young, but it's the kind of remark I expect from you. My companion was an unsophisticated young lady. In fact, she was positively demure in a primitive sort of a way. I was driving toward Los Angeles with her this morning, and I...
How far did you get?
Stop those insinuations. We'd left the desert and were driving up Elephant's Pass when suddenly I saw careening toward me a heavy car, obviously out of control. By an amazing piece of quick thinking, I was able to meet him head on. What a crash. The engine on the other car flew through my windshield and struck my fair companion in the side.
Did it hurt her?
No, but it broke three of my fingers. Both cars were completely demolished. Fortunately, an ambulance soon arrived. The doctor dressed my injuries and brought me in, and here I am.
Oh, what happened to the girl?
Well, she'll get a lift. It's my car that worries me. $8,000 worth of car completely ruined.
Oh, that's too bad.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Morgan?
Yes, son.
Well, I'm from the Prince Metal Garage. We got your car fixed up, and here's the repair bill.
All over
57
that.
Cents.
I've been stabbed. Get out of here.
A 57-cent collision. Now I don't even believe you went to Palm Springs.
Master Robert, skepticism is an attribute of small minds. As a matter of fact, I was in Palm Springs on a secret mission. I was investigating the Mojave Desert on behalf of the world's largest group of mining interests.
Mining, now. What did you expect to find in the Mojave?
What did I expect to find? What does a miser think of morning, noon, and night? What is the magic substance that energizes men and women all over the world? What are you and I working and slaving for?
Maxwell House coffee.
The soul of a huckster. I was looking for gold, my boy.
Oh, some wildcat scheme.
On the contrary, the six men who comprise my board of directors are the world's greatest financial wizards. They paid me a king's ransom to investigate the Mojave. And naturally, they never go into any enterprise unless they're certain it's the sure thing.
What made them think there was gold in the Mojave?
Well, the chairman's wife had a dream. In choosing Morgan, they chose the right man to make the dream come true. I got out my old sluicing pan, saddled a burro, and set off for the hills.
You got the audacity to stand up here and try to make us believe you know anything about gold mining, Mr. Morgan.
Klondike Morgan, sir. The smartest sourdough that ever struck pay dirt. When the world's great bonanzas are found, Morgan is on the ground.
It's going to take off in a minute, folks.
Didn't I bank the Fairbank, stock the Comstock, and grubstake the Homestake? The name of Morgan was synonymous with successful mining ventures. Prospectors followed me like hawks because they know that wherever Morgan went, there was sure to be a big bum. I mean, a big boom.
I heard you the first time. Go on, Klondike.
Bob, you haven't lived till you've known the call of the open spaces. Alaska. Will I forget your virgin peaks, your tumbling rivers, your gleaming snows? I came to you a raw, hungry stripling. I delved into your vitals, and you rewarded me richly.
That's the most beautiful lie I ever heard in my life.
Oh, I think so, too. No! Why do you take everything I say cum grano salis?
What's that?
With a dose of salt. I'm telling the truth, Bob. Every word I say can be confirmed by the American Historical Society. Who started the gold rush of 49? A 56, 72, 88, 94, 103.
Shift.
Signals off. What a game.
Get out of the huddle, sourdough, and tell me what you found in the Mojave.
No, nothing that would impress you, young. I just happened to locate the biggest bonanza ever found in the Western Hemisphere, that's all. After 2 days of investigation, I found my spot and started to dig. 3 feet down, I struck a beautiful nugget of virgin gold. Continuing
right.
further...
How big was the nugget?
Pretty big. I continued the operation with...
How big was the nugget, Frank?
How
big as an orange?
Bigger. When we reached the 10-foot level, I was...
Frank, was the nugget as big as my head?
Yes, but not as thick. When I reached the 10-foot level, I was through the surface stratum, and by noon I started on the quartz.
All the pints were gone, huh?
Every day you get more like a master of ceremonies.
Now, keep digging, Klondike.
Yes. The quartz continued for about 20 feet, a good sign. I was working like a madman, sweat pouring from my face, the muscles in my bronze back rippling as I swung the pick. Suddenly, about 4 o'clock, I heard the unmistakable metallic clink as my pick struck gold. It was the mother lode. I assayed it quickly with a crucible and spirit lamp and found my guess correct. It was pure 48-carat gold. I took it to the nearest...
Wait a minute.
What?
The mother lode was 48-carat gold?
Yes.
Listen, sluice pan. There's no such thing as 48-carat gold. It only goes as high as 24.
It only goes to 24. Yeah. 24. Well, this mother lode had twins. So long, Mama.
Besides being one of our finest young actors, many of you are undoubtedly unaware that Mickey Rooney is also a very talented songwriter. Mickey is very proud of his newest song, which has just been published. Sheet music on sale at all music counters. Here it is. Have a Heart. Take it, Meredith. Grand Meredith, and congratulations, Mickey Rooney. I hope your song sells a million copies. Mickey Rooney, who appears later, just walked on the stage and shook hands with Wilson. Now, Ted Pearson with the words to every housewife.
Have you ever had a friend drop into the kitchen and say that...
Been shopping, I see. Does this package of new coffee smell good?
I just got home. Sit down and I'll make you a cup.
Well, there's no denying that the aroma from a new package of coffee smells good. Nor is there any denying that the aroma floating around in the air is flavor being wasted. Flavor you never get in a cup. Well, just a moment's thought supplies the answer. The coffee wasn't packed in an airtight container. The air got in and the flavor got out. A lot of it before she ever bought the coffee. You see, whether ground or in the whole bean, coffee starts to lose flavor the moment it's roasted, if exposed to the air. And scientific tests reveal that ground coffee packed in ordinary containers loses as much as 45%. That's nearly half its flavor in only 9 days. but with Maxwell House. The coffee is taken fresh and fragrant from the roasting ovens, packed in the blue super vacuum can from which all air is first removed. Then this can is sealed under vacuum, so no air can get in, no flavor can get out. That's why Maxwell House comes to you not just days fresh, but roaster fresh, with all its rich, satisfying flavor sealed in. We hope you'll try the new and improved Maxwell House. Not only has the blend been further enriched, but due to the radiant roast process, which roasts each bean evenly all the way through, you'll get much more of the true flavor of this superb coffee. So ask your grocer for the new and improved Maxwell House. It comes in the same familiar blue super vacuum can, the one way known to science to keep coffee truly fresh.
Tony Martin returns to echo the Thanksgiving Day sentiments of our entire Good News cast. He sings for the first time on the air, Thanks for Everything by Gordon and Revell, from his forthcoming 20th Century Fox picture, appropriately titled Thanks for Everything.
Thanks for everything, every word, every sigh, every kiss. Thanks for everything, for bringing me moments like this, for taking the skies of gray and making them blue, for taking my cares away, I tip my heart to you. So thanks for everything, every thrill in your tender caress. Thanks to you alone for all that I'll ever possess. You gave me my reason to dream, then made every dream come true. And so, for everything, my thanks to you.
I'd like to thank you, Bob, for everything. And you too, Meredith, you've certainly been grand.
And I'd like to thank good old Leo the Lion and the boys and the girls and the band.
Well, the old Maxwell House salutes you and thanks you. And now here's Baby Snooks.
And I thank my daddy for the candy and the lollipops and the chewing gum and the dolls and the books. I like them.
And I'm thankful for my little angel, and I forgive her all of her sins. But above all, believe me, I'm thankful that I wasn't blessed with twins.
On this Thanksgiving Day, friends of Maxwell House, we know, face tomorrow with hope, good cheer, and confidence. So let's all join in expressing the wish that this prospect of better days to come be realized to the full for each and every one. Join us now in our pleasant custom, a cup of steaming, fragrant Maxwell House coffee. Now pause briefly for station identification.
We continue our Good News Maxwell House program tonight, featuring a visit with the number one family in America, the Hardys. A few weeks ago, we presented on our program a duet sung by Frank Morgan and Meredith Wilson. Their performance apparently was a great success, as we have received numerous requests for another of these duets. Tonight, they have chosen the well-known classic, Il Bacio.
Mimi!
Sulle labbra, sulle labbra, sei porcato la pelle, le braccia, spense tracce, por la pan, Ricardo Cortez. Oh, Milan cacciatore, bacio d'amore, porta del destino. Dolce far niente, I love Jack Piente, so.
Well, I didn't learn this. Got no words.
Frank,
what?
Help! Frank!
Sempre con molto al più. Il forno spigliato.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present now as a special feature of our Maxwell House Good News program, for the first time on any radio show, the entire cast of America's number one screen family, the Hardys. You've all seen them in Judge Hardy's Children, in Love Finds Andy Hardy, and you'll all be seeing them very soon in their new picture, Out West with the Hardys. Now here they are in person, Lewis Stone as Judge Hardy. Fay Holden as Mrs. Hardy. Cecilia Parker as Marion Hardy. Ann Rutherford as Andy's regular sweetheart, Polly. And young Mr. Andrew Hardy, Mickey Rooney. We present the Hardys tonight in an original radio sketch called Thanksgiving at the Hardys, written by MGM's Kerry Wilson and directed by the Hardy family director, George B. Seitz. The scene is the Hardy home in the town of Carvel on the morning of Thanksgiving Day. Downstairs, the house seems deserted save for the rattle of pots and pans from the kitchen, which reveals that Mrs. Hardy is where Mrs. Hardy has been on every Thanksgiving morning for, lo, these 30 years.
Marion. Marion, answer the doorbell, dear.
Mother, I can't. I'm not dressed. Andrew, answer the door.
Oh, gee, Marion, can't you keep your shirt on? Ha ha! A good joke, huh? Because I can't answer the doorbell on account of because I ain't got my shirt on yet.
Dear, dear. A holiday in this family is a holiday for everybody but me. James. James, where are you?
Right here in the den, Mother.
Well, James, how do you answer that front door?
Emily, I'll do that, old thing.
Goodness, suppose somebody should see me looking like this.
Oh, good morning, Bailiff.
Morning, Judge.
Morning there, young man.
Brought this bird around first thing, just like you told me to last night, Judge.
Mm-hmm. Sit down. Sit down. Now, Tim Blackwood, I signed the papers last night to let you free for Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, gee. Oh, thanks. As I told you, Judge, if I get home for Thanksgiving dinner with my mother, then she won't have to know about my being in jail.
What's your real name, son? Well, that's all right. I don't blame you for not wanting to tell. But remember, you're still in jail.
But, Judge, I...
Now, legally, I'm extending the limits of the jail to include the boundaries of Carville County in my own jurisdiction. But don't leave the county, that's all.
Well, nothing on earth could make me break my word with you, Judge. I'll be back tomorrow morning.
Good luck and happy Thanksgiving.
I didn't steal that order, Judge. It's a long story.
But... Well, in due time, we'll go into that. Run along with you.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a morning. Hi, Dad. Ain't it a swell day? I mean, isn't it? I mean, excuse me. I didn't know you had company.
Thank you, Bailiff. See you tomorrow, Tim.
You bet you will, Judge.
Okay, Judge.
Hey, who was that with a bailiff, Dad? Somebody get arrested?
Oh, young fella got lost, wanted to find a way home. Well, you seem quite jubilant this morning, Andy.
I'll give you three guesses why I'm a happy man today.
It might be due to the fact that this is Thanksgiving.
Oh, sure. I'm crazy about Thanksgiving because it means it's only 1 month till Christmas.
Ah, then you like Christmas more than Thanksgiving?
Sure. You get turkey on both days, but Christmas you get presents, too. Anyways, I'm two-timing the turkey racket today. We're having Thanksgiving dinner at noon, so I'm having turkey here. Then Polly Benedict's having it at 6 o'clock, so I'll go over there and knock off another hunk of white meat then. Hello? Ah, Miss Polly Benedict calling? The fairest flower of Carville? Ah, Miss Benedict, this is Mr. Andy Hardy in the flesh. Dust off the royal carpet and get the trumpeters ready, for in a flaming chariot I hasten to thy side. Dad, when you were a kid, did you ever try high-class poetic language on a woman? It slays them. It positively slays them.
Good morning, Father. Good morning, Andrew.
Look, sis, you don't have to put on your Sunday voice on account of this is only a holiday.
Father, can't you make Andrew treat me with some respect?
Andy, you must remember your sister's older than you are.
Remember it? I've been trying to forget it all my life. Know what she said at the drugstore the other day? She says, I want a toothbrush, child size, for my little brother. Child size, little brother. Bah, I'm going over to Polly's.
The scene changes to Polly Benedict's house. Marion and Dennis, who is Polly's cousin, have usurped the living room sofa, driving Andy and Polly to their familiar place, the front porch swing.
Oh, Polly, I am not.
Indeed you are. Anybody that'd embarrass a girl in front of her family.
Oh, Polly, please. Just one little kiss.
I said no.
Polly, how'd you like to wake up some morning and look out your window and find me marching up and down in front of your house carrying a big sign that says, Polly Benedict is unfair to romance. Polly Benedict is unfair to love.
My, but you'd look funny.
If that ain't just like a woman. You talk to a woman about big serious issues of life and they giggle. Come on, let's take a walk.
No, thank you. We mustn't leave the house before dinner.
Dinner? You mean that you...
Dinner will be at 1:30.
But look, Polly, you're having dinner at 6 o'clock.
Oh, no. We were having dinner at 6 o'clock. But then, you know, Grandmother's always used to having it in the middle of the day, so we moved it up to noon.
But that's illegal. You can't do that. I gotta be home to our turkey dinner at noon.
You don't want to stay and have dinner with us?
Oh, I do want to, Polly. I'd rather stay and have dinner here with you than inherit $1 billion, but I can't.
Who suggested your having dinner with the Benedict family?
I did.
And why did you want to?
Oh, don't let's go into that now.
We will go into it. You said that your being here to dinner with the family was, well...
Oh, don't, Polly. It sounds all so foolish and here in broad daylight.
So you're afraid to hear in broad daylight what you whispered in the moonlight walking home from the drugstore. The long way home through the woods, if you remember, Mr. Hardy. Whose suggestion was that?
It was, well, it was my suggestion.
And it was your suggestion to sit on the big rock under the old elm tree so that you could tell me all about this...
Oh, stop it, Polly, please don't.
This opportunity for my parents to see that you were no longer a boy, but were now a man of the world.
Oh, Polly.
And when I told you that my mother would be just delighted to have you for Thanksgiving dinner, what did you say?
I don't remember.
I remember. You said that not all the lions and tigers in Africa could prevent you from being at my side on this auspicious occasion.
Did I?
wasn't I nice about it? I didn't even tell you that there aren't any tigers in Africa.
Look, Polly, if you please won't be mad at me, if you'll please only act like a human being. Come on, let's take a walk, just for 10 minutes.
Where to? Well,
we could take a walk through the woods. and sort of get some of those autumn leaves. Didn't you ask me the other day to help you pick some autumn leaves?
I also told you that the autumn leaves I want grow out on your father's aqueduct property. Oh, but no, out that way, there are no dark, shady spots where you can persuade girls to sit on rocks and try and kiss them.
Oh, say, it's Marion. Hey, what are you crying for, Marion?
I'm not crying. I'm going home. And I don't want an incorrigible infant trailing after me. Oh.
Incorrigible infant, huh? The way Marion's getting me younger and younger all the time, by next year I'll be in kindergarten.
Goodbye, Mr. Hardy. I trust you'll enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner.
Thanksgiving. What have I got to be thankful for?
I'll go, Mother. Oh, Billiff, what's wrong?
That kid, Tim Blackwood, just stuck up a car the other side of the county bridge. Shot a guy, grabbed his wallet, and got away.
No, I can't believe it. Not that boy.
Kind of puts you in a bad light, Judge. Suppose it should turn out to be murder.
Maybe I got a little too sentimental because it was Thanksgiving. They haven't caught the boy.
Sheriff McMahon over in Eli County has got about everybody out. It's old Dr. Willis that got shot.
That's terrible. Will you go back to courthouse, cooperate with Eli County in every way, phone me any developments?
Yeah, nice mess. Oh, good morning, Miss Marion.
Good morning.
Goodbye, Judge.
Yeah, goodbye. Well, Marion, what's all this?
Well, it started when Dennis admired my dress.
That was nice.
He said it made me look simply stunning, and then... Oh, Dad, then it happened.
What happened? Roof fell in?
No, worse than that. He asked me if I'd made the dress myself.
Seems to me that's a compliment.
Oh, Dad, you might be the wisest judge in the world, but you simply don't know anything about women.
Well, maybe you're right, honey. Go on.
Well, then I said something, and then Dennis said something, and first thing you know, I told him I never wanted to see him again, and he said that suited him. Only I do want to see him.
And you will. Go to the telephone. Call him up.
Oh, don't you think I have any pride?
I hope not.
You mean you want me to humiliate myself?
Why not? There's nothing wrong in humiliating yourself. There's everything wrong with pride if it keeps you from saying, Dennis, I told you I didn't want to see you again, but I do. Then Dennis will say he's dying to make up with you, and everything will be fine.
But won't he think I'm cheap and changeable?
Nobody ever thinks honesty cheap. Now, you run along upstairs and wash your face, and then call up Dennis.
Dad, you're just the grandest father that ever lived.
Emily, if I come out in the kitchen, am I safe from you?
You stay out of my kitchen. I'm coming in to sit down and rest a bit anyway.
Ah. There you are, Mother. Let me fix this pillow for you. Ah, you look warm. Must be hot out in that kitchen.
I recognize the signs, James. What is it you want to tell me?
Well, I let a young man out of jail this morning because he... Well, I believed his story that he wanted to see his mother. Apparently, that boy just committed a holdup and shot an esteemed citizen.
But it isn't your fault he went bad.
It'll bring pretty heavy criticism. If I hadn't freed the boy, he couldn't have committed a crime.
You mean people will blame you?
Well, some might feel I'm not competent to decide such things. There'd be a lot of publicity. You and the children will bear the brunt of everything that's said against me.
Of course we'll bear the brunt. That's what a wife and children are for, isn't it?
Well, I was just wondering, we wouldn't forestall a lot of prolonged trouble if... Well, if I announced I was resigning from the bench.
Oh, but James... Oh, your court is your whole life. You wouldn't be happy. You couldn't.
Might be the better way.
James, remember what happened when we were in Catalina? We didn't lose our home, did we?
No.
Then you were going to resign on account of that Washington business. But you didn't have to, did you?
No.
Well, then let's cross this bridge when we come to it. And let's not waste time talking about unimportant things. I've got some chestnut stuffing to make, and that is important.
Mother, that is important. When a man has a wife who tosses aside the prospect of her husband's wrecked career to worry about turkey stuffing, that man has no reason to fear any trouble in life. Bless your mother.
Now you answer the telephone and forget all about courts and laws and criminals, because you're going to carve this turkey, James Hardy.
Yes. Yes, bailiff. Now keep me posted. All right, anyway, what's the matter?
Dad, I want to join the Navy.
You want to join the Navy?
I want to bury myself in the Philippines or in a gunboat in China. Gee, Dad, modern civilization has got me down.
Would it help any if we indulge in a little man-to-man talk?
Nope. You see, you don't know anything about women.
That's the second time today.
Oh, this is 1938, Dad. I'm afraid we don't speak the same language.
Well, maybe not, but I've got a hunch that Polly Benedict speaks the same language today your mother spoke a good many years ago.
Why, Pop, Mom wasn't ever as young as Polly Benedict.
No.
Say, I never thought of that. You know, a guy, a young fella growing into manhood never thinks of his mother as ever been any younger than when he first remembers her. Oh, boy, that's funny. Just think of Mom, our Mom, going to kindergarten.
Well, having had some 30 years' experience with your mother, maybe I've learned a little about women.
Okay, here's the trouble, Dad. When you were young, did you ever have a bad reputation?
Well, I don't exactly know. In what way?
Well, I mean, did a woman you love more than life, ever call you a cad?
A what?
Cad. C-A-D, you know.
In more polite phraseology, guilty of conduct unbecoming a gentleman?
That's it. Well, Polly called me a cad.
Uh-huh. Were you a cad?
Well, when I first went to her house this morning, I did try to kiss her in the hall in front of Dennis, and she said I was a cad.
Considerable truth in that.
Well, but I didn't see Dennis was in the hall. I just saw a chance to celebrate Thanksgiving in the good old-fashioned way.
And the young lady refuses to be mollified?
Huh?
You couldn't convince her you had made an error.
Pop, sometimes I think you can't ever convince a woman of anything.
It seems to me the necessary thing for you to do is some act that'll prove your sincerity.
I did already, but it didn't work. I walked all the way down to our aqueduct property and got some autumn leaves she wanted. And I took them to her house, but she wouldn't see me, so I had to leave them.
That was a nice gesture. Wait a minute, Andy. You were out of the aqueduct property near the county bridge?
Yes.
You didn't see or hear anything of a holdup, a shooting?
Holdup, shooting? No, I didn't see anything but that fella. He got lost again.
Fella, lost again?
You know, the one that was here this morning. You said you were showing him the way home?
Andy, you saw that young man out on the aqueduct property? Are you sure?
Well, sure.
Which way did he go?
Well, he didn't. He was sitting under a tree, and I was very polite. Went up and asked him if he was lost again, and he said no. And then I saw that he was just sitting and crying, so I went on picking leaves.
And he was still there when you left?
Of course. He's probably still there yet. Hey, what's all the excitement?
What time did you first see this man? How long did you see him?
Well, gee, Pop, take it easy. Let's see. I left Polly's about 10 to 11. I must have seen this guy first about 11 o'clock. Took me pretty near an hour to shinny up the big tree and get some of the best leaves. Hey, Dad, what are you making such a funny face for?
You stay right there. Don't you move. Don't move. Where's that telephone?
Right here's the phone, Pop. Gee, if it had been a snake, it'd have bit you. Ha!
You just keep checking back in your mind on what time it was you saw him.
Oh, I don't have to keep checking back. I know what time it was. Say, when a man says goodbye forever to the woman he loves, he certainly is going to know what time of day it is.
Hello. Hello, bailiff. This is Judge Hardy. What was the actual moment of that holdup and shooting? You what? Well, bailiff Tim Blackwood has a perfect alibi. My son Andy had him in full sight for 20 minutes before the stick-up and 40 minutes afterwards. And bailiff, go and pick him up. Just a minute, bailiff. Andy, exactly where was this lad?
Down by the old stream bed, just across the county line.
You're sure of that? On the other side of the county line?
Positively.
Bailiff, you'll have to call up Ely County. That boy's legally a runaway prisoner. They'll have to take him in. He's on their side of the county line.
Say, Dad, couldn't I run down there and tell this fella to move back across the county line? And then I could just say somewhere on our property. That'd be the truth.
And he would be on our property all the time.
Whoopee, Andy, you've saved the day. A bailiff, you picked that boy up. He never left my property, and I paroled him in my own jurisdiction. You take him to the courthouse, and this afternoon I'll personally drive him over, see his mother. Well, Andy Hardy, you've given one young man a real Thanksgiving today.
Oh, shucks.
Father, Andrew, doesn't anyone answer the bell around here? Why, it's Polly.
Polly.
Andy, I've been a very selfish girl, and I'm going to say what I have to say right out in front of everybody. I was mean to quarrel with you because you wanted to come home to your own Thanksgiving dinner.
Gee, Polly.
That's very nice of you, Polly.
Polly, why, you're simply wonderful. You've just done what Dad wants me to do with Dennis, and I'm going right over and do it.
Take my car, Marion. Fly to your boyfriend in the flaming chariot. Only be sure to look out for the holiday traffic, because my car ain't insured yet.
I fly. Tell Mother to hold dinner 10 minutes.
Polly, it's too bad you can't stay and have Thanksgiving dinner with us.
But I can. Father talked Grandmother out of having our dinner until 6 o'clock.
Boy, oh boy. Now I know what a real day of Thanksgiving is.
James, Marion, Andrew. Why, Polly. Oh, dear, where's Marion? Polly, you must stay for dinner. I'll set another place.
Well, here we are again at a Thanksgiving dinner table. And in accordance with the Hardy custom, we always say grace for Thanksgiving dinner. It'll be very simple and easy to say the conventional for what we're about to receive, O Lord, make us truly thankful. But I wonder if that's enough. I wonder if we shouldn't be thankful for the things we have as well as for those we're going to receive. Now, suppose each one of us says what he or she is thankful for. I'll start it. I'm thankful because we live in a great free country. A country whose democratic government shall never perish from the earth. Now, Mother, it's your turn.
We're happy because we're all here together. Well and happy. And we're thankful because we haven't got all the things we want, so we can have a lot of fun getting them.
Yes. Marion?
I'm thankful because I have a father and a mother who are the wisest and dearest of all people, to help me grow up sensibly and to teach me to find happiness.
Now, you, Andy.
Pop, I don't know how to say it. I can always use a lot of expensive words when I'm talking about nothing important. But now all I can say is that I'm awful thankful, from way down deep in my heart, for all the things that you generally forget to be thankful for because you're used to having them. You know, things you never appreciate until you lose them.
That, my son, is true American Thanksgiving.
Thanks, and the thanks of all our audience to the Hardy family for visiting us tonight.
Over 50 years ago today in Nashville, Tennessee, in the stately dining room of a famous old hotel, you might have heard as you passed the table,
"Well, I declare, I never tasted coffee as good as this.
It's grand. Wonderfully rich.
I must find out what kind it is. Oh, waiter, do you know?"
Yes, it's that new blend Master Joel Cheek perfected. He's calling at Maxwell House after the hotel.
Today, Maxwell House is again the name on every tongue. People everywhere delight in the smooth richness of this new and improved Maxwell House. And this enthusiastic response is due, we believe, to three things. First, the Maxwell House blend has been even further enriched. 12 coffee blending experts spent 8 months before they found the way to enrich Joel Cheek's original secret blend. Second, the radiant roast process. By roasting each bean evenly all the way through, brings out more of the true coffee flavor. You get no weak coffee due to under-roasting, no bitter coffee due to parching. Third, Maxwell House is vacuum-packed, fresh and fragrant from the roasting ovens in the famous blue super vacuum can. So it comes to you, not just days fresh, but roaster fresh. Tomorrow, why don't you ask your grocer for a pound of the new Maxwell House coffee? At today's low prices, now's the time to make friends with this coffee that is richer, smoother, and probably more satisfying than any you've ever before tried.
Tonight in the MGM Concert Hall, Meredith Willson continues with the answers to this questionnaire. If all the music in the world were suddenly destroyed, and you could choose just one composition to hear again and preserve, what piece of music would you choose? Tonight's selection is the combined choice of a governor's wife, the Mason City, Iowa Lions Club, a newsboy on the corner of Hollywood and Vine Streets in Hollywood, a stockbroker on Wall Street, and a postman in Hannibal, Missouri. It couldn't have been more appropriate for Thanksgiving Day. Home, sweet home. Next week, another grand good news Maxwell House show, when our special guest will be the comedian all America loves to laugh at, Joe E. Brown. And of course, our regular gang, Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Frank Morgan, Tony Martin, and Meredith Willson. Next week, Frank Morgan will appear in a drama entitled The Gambler, written for radio by Patterson McNutt. And may I remind you to put a must-go-see on your list for Out West with the Hardys. It's their latest MGM picture, and you'll love it. And ladies and gentlemen, may I take this moment to wish that you and yours will enjoy many more happy Thanksgiving days. This is Bob Young saying goodnight until next Thursday. In the meantime, go to the movies and take the family with you. ¶¶
Now, until next Thursday at the same time, this is Ted Pearson saying good night and good luck for Maxwell House Coffee, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.